It's Texaco time with Fred Allen. Welcome to the Texaco Star Theater, ladies and gentlemen, and to a performance that marked a milestone in Texaco history, the 40th anniversary of the Texas Company. 40 years of progress in petroleum products, now so vital to the American cause. Tonight, we invite you to enjoy the next 60 minutes with Fred Allen, Kenny Baker, Portland Hoffa, our special guest, Victor Moore, star of Paramount's Louisiana Purchase, the winner of the Texaco College Competition, Miss Charlene Posgay from Duquesne University at Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and Al Goodman's orchestra. An hour of mirth and melody brought to you by the more than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to meet the man who appeared on the Quiz Kids program last Wednesday and learned a lot of things his mummy never done told him. And here he is, Fred Allen in person.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And, Jimmy, when you say I learned a lot of things from the Quiz Kids last Wednesday night, you are not exaggerating. Do you know that little Gerard is so smart, he has to sleep with his head between bookends? Little head is square up on top. I asked him, and he told me he sleeps...
No kidding, is that right?
Yes, that's right. All the kids agreed, though, Jimmy, that I was the most intelligent guest they had ever had on the program.
Oh, yes, I know. They told the same thing to Jack Benny when he was on their program last year.
Oh, that's ridiculous, Jimmy. Benny had, when Benny went on the Quiz Kids program, he cheated. Benny had Einstein under his coat, one of the kids. And the reason they knew that he had Einstein under there was that all of the answers, during the program, all of Benny's answers came out of a buttonhole in his vest. And they looked in there. They thought he had hair on his chest, but it was Einstein in there. Speaking of J.B., did you hear his program tonight, Jimmy?
No, I didn't, Fred. What happened?
You didn't hear the program?
No.
Well, the program opened up at a fast clip, Jimmy. Oh. Don Wilson came on and spoke highly, at a fast clip about cola jello. The program was very good up to there. And then, of course, Benny came on, and there was a letdown after the commercial, naturally. Benny came on and told how his suspenders broke in the Easter parade out there in Hollywood, and his trousers were lowered to half-mast, you see. And it seems that that he had on the bloomers from Charlie's aunt, from the picture. He was still wearing these bloomers, you see. It must be very funny, because on a man like Benny, it's hard to tell where a bloomer starts, where a bloomer leaves off, and Benny starts. I mean... But he has to wear... Did you ever see Benny's legs confidentially?
No, frankly, I haven't.
You haven't?
No.
Well, they look like two swan's necks with no down on them. And... Benny is the first man to ever wear stockings with built-in calves. He is the inventor with the built-in calves. Well, then the program went along. I made some notes here. He spoke disparagingly about my appearance with the Quiz Kids. He said that when he was on the program, he sat right with the kids and answered the questions, and I was the quiz master. Well, the truth of the matter is that on the program, the kids wanted Benny to be the quiz master, but when he got over there, they found out that he couldn't read the questions, so they had to take him and put them with him to... And then later on, he did a whole routine about that I had no teeth, you see.
Yes.
Mr. Benny said that I had no teeth at all. And now to fling the lie into Mr. Benny's gums at the moment, to prove, ladies and gentlemen, from here to California that I have teeth, I am going to eat over this network from coast to coast a piece of celery, ladies and gentlemen. Now, Mr. Benny, let's hear from you. Well, that's about all there was. There is a man there, Jimmy. Benny not only has no teeth of his own, he's too cheap to buy false teeth. He enamels his gums. That's about all there was to the program, Jimmy. I guess you're sorry you brought the whole thing up.
Yes, frankly, I am. I only mentioned Jack Benny to make conversation.
Well, I know. And before you get a chance to say anything more, Jimmy, I think I'd better turn to the latest news of the week. The March of Trivia presents its weekly lowlight from the world of news. Washington, D.C., War Production Board, in an effort to stretch the nation's available tea supply to 1 year's consumption, orders 50% cut in the sale of tea to the public. March of Trivia gets a cross-section of the man-in-the-street opinion to drastic tea reduction order. An ex-senator says,
I'm framing a bill to take the tea out of the alphabet.
Are you putting another letter in its place?
Yes, the letter V. V for victory.
Well, how will your victory alphabet go, Senator?
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, V, U, V, W, X, Y, Z.
Very good, and thank you, Senator. The hostess at a popular Park Avenue tea shop reports,
we have stopped serving tea entirely.
You are serving a substitute?
Tea customers are now getting a cup of hot water and smoked glasses.
Thank you very much. A popular songwriter says,
I'm rewriting the lyrics of Tea for Two. I'm cutting down 50%.
Well, how does your new version of Tea for Two go?
A tea for one and one for tea. No tea for you, but there's tea for me.
Thank you very much. An unknown actor who has been affected by the tea reduction is Sir Bibbum Bush. Well, what happened, Sir Bibbum?
This blasted tea rationing has closed my play. Lord Bellwether's Dilemma.
Lord Bellwether's Dilemma? Well, how could tea?
Well, you see, in the play, I was cast as Cartwright the Butler.
Cartwright the Butler?
Yes. At the end of the third act, Lord Bellwether returns, you see. He's been out on the moor, frogging.
Frogging on the moor, eh?
But as Lord Bellwether enters the conservatory, he finds the governess beheaded on the divan, his wife dying on the floor, and his son lying on the mantel with a bolo knife through his pullover.
A bolo knife through his pullover, eh?
Mm. Lord Bellwether adjusts his monocle.
Yes.
He calmly surveys the carnage.
Yes.
He turns to me and he says, Cartwright, a cup of tea.
Cartwright, a cup of tea.
Yes, I serve him the tea. Quick curtain. Bravos, applause, absolute din, oh boy.
Fine.
And then came this blasted tea rationing. At the last minute, I had to find another drink. I made a most unfortunate choice.
Well, what happened, Sir Bibbum?
We came to the third act.
Yes.
Lord Bellwether said, Cartwright, a cup of tea.
Yes.
I came on holding a Pepsi Cola.
And?
The house cat called. Quick curtain. The play closed.
Well, that's too bad, Sir Bibbum.
I say, oh boy, do you mind if I trickle off?
Not at all.
Trickle, 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 trickle.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Sir Bibbum Bush. A mystic who has had a bit of difficulty with the tea, a seeress, rather, who has had a bit of difficulty with the tea situation is, what is your name again, madam?
Princess Shirley Lazanga.
Princess, you tinker with the tannic occult, do you, Princess Lazanga?
For 20 years, by Shapiro Samovar, I am reading tea leaves.
Shapiro Samovar. Well, do you tell fortunes by appointment, Princess?
Only with the blue plate special.
Oh, I see.
With the 35-cent dinner, I am telling you nothing. Princess Lazanga is only waiting on you.
Oh, only waiting with the... Well, but with the blue plate special...
While you are eating the meat, I am looking into the future.
Uh-huh, and?
I am not only predicting dessert, I am also predicting love, marriage, and divorce.
Fine. Well, tell me, with the tea rationing, are you giving digest readings?
Princess Shirley Lazanga is going all out.
All out for defense?
All out of Shapiro Samovar.
Oh, I see.
Yes, today I am predicting by Moskowitz's delicatessen.
You are a fortune teller in a delicatessen?
Why not? I am reading noodles.
Well, how on earth can you read noodles?
Comes a customer. He is ordering noodle soup.
Mm-hmm.
The soup off the top he is zipping.
Mm-hmm.
I am looking on the noodles and giving a reading.
Well, isn't it difficult reading noodles?
It's monotonous. Every fortune is the same.
Why, Princess?
For a customer. customer eating by Moskowitz is delicatessen, their future is holding only one thing.
Success?
Indigestion.
Moskowitz cramps their style, and thank you, Princess Lazonga. And now a man who has no problem with the tea rationing is Ladislaus Fraun. Tea doesn't bother you, eh, Ladislaus?
Not me, brother. Let them cut out all the drinks they want. I'm all set.
You don't drink anything?
Only milk, brother. I bought a cow.
You live in the city? Where do you keep your cow?
Where else? In the apartment.
You keep a cow?
The landlord's nearsighted. He thinks it's a St. Bernard with gland trouble.
Oh,
when me and a wife feels like a glass of milk, I just pull one of them little handles under the cow. We got milk.
And this system is working out okay, is it?
We got more milk than we can use in a lifetime.
Well, how do you mean?
For 2 months, I've been drawing from only one of them little handles under the cow.
I see.
The other three are as good as new.
Oh, the other three are... You're holding your cow for a long pull, and thank you, Ladislaus. Well, that about exhausts...
Hark an instant, mountebank. Falstaff's here to cut a plank.
Falstaff, Openshaw, not you.
The muse and I have just checked out of the Y.
By request. You haven't been composing again.
Have you heard, she had dishpan hands, and I was a Basin Street boy?
No, I haven't.
Or, I waved to my darling Beulah as they dragged her away to the cooler.
No, I haven't heard that.
Put down that jukebox, mother. You're too old to carry a tune.
Now, wait. Done it. That is the last straw, Openshaw. Tonight, it so happens that we have been discussing the tea shortage.
Precisely why I am here. I have written a poem.
What is your tea poem called?
My Little Bag and Me.
How does it go, Falstaff?
When the cares of the day seem too heavy to bear, do I rant, do I fume, do I tear out my hair? No. I hie me to a tea shop, to the nearest one I go, and I get myself a pot of tea, oolong, or perhaps Pekoe. I pour my own hot water, I dunk my bag of tea, and there I sit in solitude, my little bag and me. Through many a crucial crisis, when fate had us up a tree, we've sat and thrashed our problems out, my little bag and me. But today there came an order from the WPB. It says we all must cut in half our daily use of tea. It means breaking up our friendship to keep our country free. We're glad to make this sacrifice, my little bag and me.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, and now we turn to greet Kenny Baker, paying his tribute to the Easter season. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight Kenny sings Easter Parade, Mr. Al Goodman conducting Easter Parade.
You'll be the grandest lady in the Easter parade. I'll be all in clover, and when they look you over, I'll be the proudest fellow in the Easter parade. On the avenue, Fifth Avenue, you're in the rose gravure. I could write a sonnet about your Easter bonnet and of the girl I'm taking to the Easter parade. saw you look quite so pretty before. Never saw you dressed quite so lovely. What's more, I could hardly wait to keep our date this lovely Easter morning. And my heart beat faster as I came through the door. For in your Easter bonnet, with all the frills upon it, you'll be the grandest lady in the Easter parade. I could write a sonnet about your Easter bonnet and of the girl I'm taking to the Easter parade. The Easter parade.
Thank you, Kenny. That was very nice. And here, unless my eyes deceive me, is Larry Elliott.
Yes, Fred, with a message for the millions of new drivers in America today.
Oh, wait a minute, Larry. How can there be millions of new drivers when there aren't any new cars?
Why, every motorist is a new driver now, Fred. Even those who've been driving for years.
Well, I think you'd better explain that, Larry.
Well, it's very simple, Fred. We're all new drivers these days because we're all driving a new way. We're staying under 40, we're conserving our tires, and we're looking for new efficiency in the performance of our cars. That's why motorists appreciate now more than ever the satisfaction of driving with Texaco Sky Chief gasoline. Try it yourself. Feel the new life Sky Chief's flexible power puts into your car at those under 40 speeds. Thrill to the way this luxury gasoline answers your touch on the starter, the way its flexible power eases you into smooth, steady, tire-saving starts. Sky Chief won its fame as the nearest thing to flying power in ground travel. But you don't have to speed to enjoy the brilliant performance of Sky Chief's flexible power. And you only have to count your miles per gallon to know its real economy, too. Yes, you'll get a new satisfaction from your driving with Sky Chief, your Texaco dealer's premium gasoline for those who want the best.
Maestro Goodman has just played Zoot Suit. Mr. Goodman only had time to play a fragment of the cloth. We're a little rushed tonight. And
Mr.
So,
Allen!
Well, Portland. Hey, you look mighty snappy tonight. Is that your new Easter outfit?
Yes, it's a victory ensemble.
Well, how do you mean?
The dress is so long, you can't see defeat.
Well, I could say very good, but I'd only be lying, so I'm not going to say very good. Aren't the very is a word that could be used in connection with another word that might go after it. Aren't the sleeves a little too long?
Yes. The man didn't have time to alter the dress.
Well, why not?
Just as Mama paid him, a policeman came up, and the man had to leave with his push cart.
A pushcart modiste? Is that where you did your shopping?
The man told Mama he was working for Macy's.
And he had a pushcart full of dresses?
Yes. He said he was a fresh air fiend, and Macy's let him take his counter out in the street.
Oh, yes. They're very nice that way if you want to take your counter out. Well, he should have shortened the sleeves.
Oh, the sleeves are all right. My arms aren't long enough.
Well, you can get them pulled out later in the day. Well, oh, hello, Kenny. I didn't see
you. Well, how do you like it, folks?
Oh, is that your new suit, Kenny?
Yes, sir. Some garment, AFA.
Now, wait a minute. Wait till I get used to the glare, Kenny. You blinded me there for a minute.
It looks like a sunset with sleeves in it, doesn't it?
It sure is loud, Kenny.
It looks like an antipasto with lapels on it to me.
Where did you get your suit, Kenny?
Well, I was walking along Canal Street, and a man was lying outside of a clothing store. He must have fainted because he was mumbling.
Mumbling what, Kenny?
Well, he was mumbling, "Help, help, carry me into Sam's tailor shop. Now having a big Easter sale." Down come prices. No suit in stock over $16.95. Hurry, carry me in.
And?
Well, he was lying on the sidewalk, so I carried him in.
So?
The minute I got him inside Sam's, he came to and locked the door. And who do you think it was?
Who, Kenny?
It was Sam.
Well, what happened?
Well, the next thing I knew, I was pinned against the wall looking at suits.
Well, how did you happen to pick that slice of Technicolor you have on there?
I got a canoe paddle with it.
Oh, well. All right, break it up, kids. We have a guest to welcome.
Oh, who's coming tonight?
Victor Mature.
Oh! Victor Mature?
Now, stop shaking, Portland. We went all through this with Tyrone Power. Now, you and Kenny beat it. Mr. Mature and I want to be alone.
Gosh, I'd like to be you for 10 minutes, Mr. Allen.
Well, never mind that. Go and see if the bulb on your Easter lily lights up. Do something. And now, ladies and gentlemen, 3 weeks ago we brought you Tyrone Power. Tonight we bring you another candidate for the movie fan's choice for Mr. America, Hollywood's one and only Victor Mature. Now, wait there. Brother, we were expecting someone all women describe as a beautiful hunk of man.
Well, nobody ever called me beautiful, but I guess you could call me a hunk.
Yes, you could. You look like a bundle for Bellevue. You're certainly not Victor Mature.
No, I'm Victor Moore.
Victor Moore. You see, we had the same trouble here 2 weeks ago. We were expecting the Quiz Kids and Reggie Gardner showed up. Tonight we're expecting Victor Mature. We get Victor Moore.
What has Victor Mature got that I haven't got?
Well, nothing, but somehow he has it better arranged. Victor Mature has a wasp waist.
Well, what's wrong with this sunken double chin I've got here?
It looks like you rolled out the barrel and then put a vest on it to me.
Well, I'm sorry if I won't do, now, Mr. Allen.
Wait. Oh, please, Mr. Moore, don't go. We've got to have a guest star tonight.
Well, do you think you can use me?
Well, you'll be better than nothing.
That's what the man at the draft board said this morning.
What were you doing at the draft board?
The man on the door had his glasses off, and he pulled me in.
Well, what happened when you got inside?
He put on his glasses and threw me out.
Your last show was Louisiana Purchase. You were a senator in that.
That's right. I've been a senator, an ambassador, and a vice president.
You've had quite a political career on the stage.
Yes. Other actors audition for parts. I have to campaign for mine.
Well, doesn't it get monotonous, Vic, playing nothing but politician parts?
You bet it does. Someday I'd like to play a romantic part. Just once I'd like to wear a sweater.
Sweater? Aren't you stretching your imagination a little?
I'd probably stretch the sweater a little, too. But I'd sure like to pull the wool over my eyes.
Well, perhaps you'll get your wish. You know, the way they do things out in Hollywood, Vic, you'll probably end up in a sarong.
I don't think so, Fred.
Why not?
People might mistake me for Mature, but not Lemur.
But tell me, how did you like Hollywood when you were out there making Louisiana Purchase at Paramount?
Well, I found out one thing in Hollywood, Fred.
What?
I'm too fat to wear slacks.
Well, why?
Men were always coming up behind me and saying, "Pardon me, sister."
Well, now, I don't like to bring this up, Vic, but while you were out in Hollywood, were you set upon by any of the glamour girls?
Well, I hate to brag, Fred.
Uh-huh, I thought so. You had an affair or two, you sly boots.
Well, I...
What happened?
Well, the first day I was in Hollywood, I was sitting in the Brown Derby.
Yes?
And a strange woman tried to pay for my lunch.
A strange woman tried to pay for your lunch?
Yeah, and she got away with it, too.
Well, what did you do?
Well, you know how it is. I had a station wagon, and her feet were sore.
And?
Well, one thing led to me taking her home.
Well, what did you do when you delivered her home?
I got her a seat.
Did you ever see her again?
Oh, yes. Finally started keeping company.
Well, tell me, how serious did it get?
Well, she let me wear her Wilkie button. I let her wear my Elks tooth.
You did, huh? Well, who was this girl, Vic? Rita Hayworth?
No. It was Edna Mae Oliver.
So you and Edna Mae Oliver were that way, hey?
Yeah, we kicked it around a little while I was out there.
Did you hit zeros in all of the high spots?
No, the air conditioning brings on Edna May's arthritis.
Well, what did you two do for excitement?
Well, some nights I'd go over to Edna May's with my Parcheesi board.
Yes?
And then some nights she'd bring her knitting over to my place. The light was better.
Oh, the light was better, sure.
I'd heat up a little Ovaltine.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'd take our shoes off and bump toes.
Puppy love. Well, I hope you and Edna May will be very happy.
Well, I don't know. John Barrymore tells me she's fickle. But love will find a way.
Oh, how true. Well, now that you're back in New York, you're going to stay a while?
No, Fred, I got to go back to Hollywood.
You mean you can't resist that California climate? Is that it?
No, there's nothing like New York climate for me.
I know. You've got to get back because you like pictures.
No, there's nothing like the New York stage.
Is it the people out there?
No, give me New Yorkers every time.
Then what has Hollywood got that New York hasn't got? Well...
Edna Mae Oliver.
That's right, I forgot. The glamorous, effervescent Miss Oliver.
Gosh, Fred, the way you say it.
Oh, excuse me, Mr. Moore. The telephone. Hello? Yes? Yes, he's here. Oh, it's for you, Mr. Moore.
For me?
Yes.
Oh, hello. Oh. You just got into town, huh? You want me to go out and cut a rug? Okay, sugar. I'll meet you in front of the Stork Club. I'll be wearing my patent leather wedgies. The Vi-Hot stuff.
Vic, you're not stepping out tonight.
Say, you won't mention anything to Edna May, will you?
Your secret is safe with me, Vic. Who is she? Oh, come on. Who is this hot bundle you're taking out tonight?
May Robeson.
May?
Now, ladies and gentlemen, ever since Kenny Baker has been on the air, it has been his custom each Easter to pay fitting tribute to the day by singing Schubert's Ave Maria. Tonight, as Easter Sunday comes to a close, we are happy to again present Kenny Baker singing for you Ave Maria. Maria, you
Did you want something?
Yes, it's time for me to do my stuff, Fred.
Well, not yet, Jimmy, or 8 minutes early.
Oh, your watch must be wrong, Fred.
Well, I had the jeweler take it apart and clean it only yesterday.
Maybe put the wrong parts back. Let me see it, will it? Well, these hands are the same. The dial is the same. Ah, here's the trouble. This spring is different.
Jimmy, how can you tell from the outside that this spring is different?
Why, Fred, every motorist ought to know that this spring is different. For this spring, the spring conditioning of your car just can't very well be overlooked or delayed. Because now it's really war conditioning. Yes, war conditioning. That's the way your Texaco dealer looks at it. He'll drain the antifreeze and flush out the radiator with the knowledge that his attention now can prevent future trouble. When he drains your winter oil, he'll replace it with insulated Havoline or insulated Texaco motor oil. Insulated against the high engine heats that can break down ordinary oils and invite destructive wear. He'll protect the transmission and differential, too, with the right grade of Texaco gear lubricant. And down under in the chassis, he'll cover every vital friction point, preventing wear, prolonging car life with Texaco's famous Marfax chassis lubrication service. Yes, your Texaco dealer is trained to do every phase of this job skillfully and thoughtfully. So care for your car, for your country. The Texaco Star Theater continues in just a moment when Fred Allen returns to present Victor Moore and this week's winner in the Texaco College Talent Competition. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
WABC, New York.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, the curtain of the Texaco Star Theater rises on the most talented undergraduate selected by the student body of one of America's great institutions of higher learning. Tonight's winner, who has come to New York with all expenses paid, plus a cash award of $200, represents Duquesne University at Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Now, Fred, are you ready to do the honors?
Yes, Larry. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to have you meet Duquesne's most talented undergraduate, Miss Charlene Patricia Hosgay. Congratulations, Charlene, and from Hello Duquesne, we welcome you to our high-octane midst here.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. It's nice to be back in New York again.
Well, I'm glad that you have been here before, Charlene.
Why, Mr. Allen?
Well, most of our student winners are visiting Manhattan for the first time, and of course, I generally ask them about their sightseeing, but you've seen everything here, I imagine, and so tonight, then, you can tell us about Pittsburgh. What is Pittsburgh like, Charlene?
It's a wonderful city, Mr. Allen. The Duquesne campus overlooks Pittsburgh's famous Golden Triangle. In the distance, you can see the Monongahela and Ohio Rivers.
You can see that far in Pittsburgh?
Sure, why not?
Why, I thought the air in Pittsburgh was so smoky, when the sun came out, it looked like the eight ball. I have even heard that the ceiling was so low in Pittsburgh, the little boys on pogo sticks were grounded most of the time. Charlene, what activities do you participate in about the campus?
I'm one of the singers in the Duquesne Tamburitza Orchestra.
Tamburitza? I've heard of the Schnickel Fritz Band. What is a Tamburitza Orchestra?
Our orchestra plays the music of the Slovenian and Croatian people.
And the Tamburitza is the authentic instrument?
Yes, Mr. Allen. And the Duquesne Tamburitza Orchestra wants you to have this Tamburitza as a gift.
Well, that's very nice. Thank you, Charlene.
Incidentally, Mr. Allen, the Tamburitza Orchestra is playing in South Chicago tonight, and they stopped their program to listen to your...
Well, I wish I had time to play the Tamburitza for them tonight, Charlene. This looks like a mandolin that never had a chance, doesn't it? I'd like to stop and play Deep in the Heart of Texas, but I'd only take it off the hit parade, so I won't bother with it. Would you like to have me play for your song? I'll get my pick, Charlene.
Well, before I sing, Miss Allen, could I talk to Portland?
Why, certainly. Portland?
Yes?
Charlene wishes a word with you.
Yes, Charlene? Portland, on behalf of the Duquesne chapter of the Future Teachers of America, I would like to present you with this key and scroll of membership and this bouquet of flowers.
Thank you. I am greatly honored, Charlene.
Charlene, you are really Lady Bountiful tonight. A sweater, a tamburitza, and now you've made Portland a future teacher. Posterity will be a race of morons, I'm afraid. You don't realize what Uncle Jim should have been born an octopus. I mean, you don't realize what you have done tonight.
I have one more gift for you, Mr. Allen. This is from the Epsilon Eta Phi fraternity.
Gosh, a basket with two Easter eggs in it. Isn't that? Look at that.
Yes, the large egg is inscribed to you.
Oh, so it is. That's swell.
The same egg also has an inscription. The small egg also has an inscription.
Ah, yes. Let me see. This egg laid in Waukegan by... Why, this is a museum piece, Charlene. And I want to thank you, the Duquesne Monogram Club, and the Epsilon Eta Phi fraternity for your kindness tonight.
And I want to thank the Duquesne Chapter of Future Teachers, too, Charlene.
And I guess that brings us to your vocal presence, Charlene. What song have you brought us as your gift?
I'd like to sing A Heart That's Free.
Fine. Ladies and gentlemen, Duquesne University's most talented undergraduate, Miss Charlene Posgay, sings A Heart That's Free.
Is the song of a heart that's free. Oh.
you, Miss Charlene Hosgay. Thank you. Your fellow students, the faculty, and the Duquesne University alumni may well be proud of your appearance here tonight. And all of us here in the Texaco Star Theater wish you every success in your musical career. Now, next week, ladies and gentlemen, the most talented undergraduate of Buffalo University at Buffalo, New York. After hearing the three finalists over station WKBW in Buffalo, the student body voted, the ballots have just been tabulated, and the winner is Dean Stathakis. Congratulations, Gene. We'll be looking for you next Sunday night. And, oh, say, Kenny, you look upset. Anything?
Yes, I'm worried about my Aunt Maggie.
Oh, has she had an accident?
Well, not yet, but my uncle's going to tie my Aunt Maggie onto the fender of his car.
The fender of his car for what?
Save tires. My uncle says the wear on each tire is different, see? And Aunt Maggie weighs 300 pounds, so he's going to have a ride over each wheel in rotation until the five tires wear even.
Your Aunt Maggie needs a retread job. Well, look, Kenny, tell your uncle he can't equalize his tire wear by guesswork. Isn't that correct, Jimmy?
Well, Kenny's uncle is right in one respect. The wear each tire gets is different, but there's no guesswork about it. The figures are definite. And the man who knows them is your Texaco dealer. That's why he can rotate your tires for longer service. Plus that, your Texaco dealer appraises each of your five tires separately. Some of your tires may be newer than others. Perhaps a spare should be on the road. Your Texaco dealer will examine every tire and place it for longer and more even mileage. In addition, he knows the correct tire pressure for long wear. That's why your tires go a lot farther when you have him check them once a week regularly. Just as your whole car lasts longer when you have your Texaco dealer take regular care of it. He's trained and equipped with Texaco quality products to do the job right. Take your car to him regularly so he can watch and protect it at every point from week to week. There's no guesswork about it. Let a Texaco dealer help you to care for your car for your country.
The Texaco Workshop players. Tonight they star Mr. Victor Moore in a burlesque of one of radio's great institutions, the Free Advice Program. This epic is called Forum for the Forlorn or Sobby Lobby.
Friends, good evening. Forum for the Forlorn is conducted by radio's beloved advisor on personal problems, Rodney Allen. And here is the man who will solve each and every problem. That's Solomon of Sorrow, radio's mother, father, brother, and sister, Rodney Allen.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you. And good evening, friends. Tonight, again, our studio is crowded with frustrated little people from all walks of life who are here to tell us their problems entirely unrehearsed. And now, our first case.
906, this young lady, Mr. Allen.
And your case, sister. Open your shawl, sister. Let me hold that safety pin. There, that's better. Now that your shawl is open, sister, open your heart.
I'm madly in love with two fellas.
And, what is your problem, 906?
Well, I got $200.
And you are madly in love with two fellows?
Yeah. One fella is a racing trout.
Racing trout?
He wants me to lend him the $200 to play a horse.
Well, what about your other friend?
The other fella is a part-time felon.
Mm-hmm.
He's in jail.
And this part-time felon?
He wants me to take my $200 and go his bail.
And you're madly in love with both of these fellows?
Yeah, that's my problem. What should I do with my $200?
My advice to you, little lady, is to give your $200 to the horse player. Let him put it on a horse. If the horse wins, you will have enough money to bail out your other boyfriend.
But what if the horse loses?
You will have another problem. I shall be happy to settle that problem for you.
Mr. Allen.
Yes, Milton?
This next gentleman in line has no number.
This bewildered-looking character wearing the burlap pajamas, the seersucker bathrobe, and the birch bark moccasins?
Yes.
Pardon me, sir.
Who am I? I must be somebody. What's my name?
Well, I'm going to try to help you, brother.
Who am I?
We'll find out who you are.
Have you ever seen me before?
No.
Then how do you know it's me?
Well, I don't. I'm taking a chance. Who are you?
That's it. Who am I? I must be somebody.
Looks like an amnesia victim, Rodney.
Yes, if we only had a clue, Milton. Brother, can't you give us some clue?
Is there any fire coming out of my head?
No.
Then I can't be Superman.
No. You don't even look like Clark Kent. Now, if you'll just sit down, I'll help you after the program.
All right, this way, sir.
But who am I? I must be somebody.
Friends, this poor unfortunate character... This poor unfortunate character has wandered into our forum for the forlorn wearing burlap pajamas, a seersucker bathrobe, and birch bark moccasins. You may recognize that timid voice. If you do, please call this studio. And now...
Case number 804.
Yes, beaten one. What is your dilemma?
I formerly worked in a bank. I got $18 a week, and I wasn't happy.
Why? Why weren't you happy?
On $18 a week, I couldn't go no place. I couldn't do nothing.
This made you unhappy?
Yes, sir.
Proceed.
One day, I stole $87,000 from the bank. Quit my job.
I see.
Today I'm out all day going to the racetrack, playing bingo. Nights I'm catching shows, going to nightclubs.
And are you happy?
I'm happy while I'm enjoying myself. But when I go home at night to my duplex...
Yes?
I get to thinking about the $87,000. My conscience bothers me and I'm unhappy.
And your problem is?
Should I go on enjoying myself with this tainted money and be an unhappy part of the time?
Yes.
Or should I go back to work in the bank and be unhappy all of the time?
There is no substitute for honesty, son, and my advice to you is to give up this life of pampered luxury and ease.
Yes, sir.
Go back to that bank tomorrow morning. Put on your alpaca jacket and you go back to work as though nothing had happened.
Yes, sir. And should I mention the $87,000 I stole?
Not unless they mention it to you.
Mister?
Yes?
Who am I? I must be somebody.
Yes, you are somebody. If you could only give us a clue, brother.
I didn't drive up here in a fire engine, did I?
No.
I can't be Mayor LaGuardia.
No. No, he's taller than you are.
If you'll only help me, I'll pay you back. I'll give you half of anything I've got.
Well, what have you got? Nothing. Now get away from here. Get away.
You're the only friend I've got.
Now beat it, bum. Sit down behind that screen there.
All right, but who am I?
Please, friends. Please, if you recognize this faltering voice, if you are to help a poor, unfortunate soul, call this studio. This man not only has amnesia, he may have a problem. I may be able to help. Come in.
Excuse me for interrupting your program, Mr. Allen.
Well, who are you, friend?
I'm Kramer from the Board of Missing Heirs. We're next door, broadcasting from the studio.
Yes, Kramer.
One of our missing heirs got away.
One of your missing heirs is missing?
Yeah, we located this man we believe to be Ronald Spiewak this morning in a flop house. We told him his brother, Jock Spiewak, the fly swatter king, had left him $2 million. He fell back in his bunk and hit his head on a cement pillow.
Yes?
I picked him up and he didn't know me.
His mind was a blank?
Yeah, we brought him to our studio tonight to give him the $2 million. The program had just started. I looked around. Ronald Spiewak had disappeared.
You didn't give him the money?
The Board of Missing Heirs can't give him the $2 million until he identifies himself.
There was something in the will?
Yeah, the two Spiewak brothers had a code word.
I see.
The will demands that I say Filigadusha.
Filigadusha.
If this man says Shinamarusha...
Shinamarusha.
He is Ronald Spiewak, Jock Spiewak's brother. Have you seen this little man, Mr. Allen?
Was he wearing burlap pajamas, a seersucker bathrobe, and birch bark moccasins?
Yeah, yeah.
Your problem is solved, Kramer. Sitting behind this screen, you see?
Ronald Spiewak!
I'm glad to know you, Mr. Spiewak, but who am I?
Try your code words, Kramer.
A good idea, I will. Listen, Ronald.
Yes?
Filigadusha. Filigadusha.
You bet, but who am I?
His mind is another blank.
Let me try, Kramer.
Yeah, go ahead.
Listen, Ronald, listen closely. Rose O'Day, Rose O'Day, with a filigadusha.
Skinamarusha.
Skinamarusha, that's it!
Let's try him again, Kramer, to make sure. Filigadusha, Ronald.
Shinamarusha!
Filigadusha!
Shinamarusha! That's Jock Cox Goldberg. Now I remember.
You remember what?
I'm Ronald Spiewak. My brother Jack left me $2 million. I'm rich.
Filigadusha!
Filigadusha!
You're Ronald Spiewak, all right. Congratulations, Ronald.
Where's the money?
$2 million. Gad, this is a lucky day for all of us.
Say, wait a minute, buddy. Who are you?
Ronald. You haven't forgotten me, your friend and counselor, the man who brought you out of the darkness into the light.
I never saw you before in my life.
But, Ronnie...
Get away, bum. You bother me.
Raving, Ronald. I will stand by you. I shall be at your side from now on.
Who needs you? What I need is wine, woman, and song. Although I'm a little too old to sing. $2 million! Whoopee!
But, Ronald, you promised to give me half of anything you own. You owe me $1 million.
I owe you $1 million?
And don't forget your inheritance tax.
Inheritance tax?
50%. That's another $1 million.
You mean I get $2 million?
Yes, Ronald.
And I owe $2 million.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Now, here, put down that microphone.
Gad, Rodney, he's knocked himself unconscious.
My $1 million. We've got to bring him to, Kramer. Slap him.
Yes, Ronald.
Oh. Wake up, Ronnie. Oh.
He's opening his eyes.
Ronnie, filigadusha, Ronnie. Filigadusha.
Who am I? I must be...
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I guess that closes our Star Theater for tonight. I want to thank you for joining us this evening. Next week, our guest will be Kay Kaiser, Man About Students, and the winner of the Texaco College competition at Buffalo University, Dean Stathakis. This is Fred Allen saying goodnight for the more than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast, inviting you to tune in again next Sunday night and to drive in at your Texaco dealers at any time. Remember, you're welcome. Good night. Thank you.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.